Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope it encourages you to live and love like Jesus.
I'd invite you to listen and receive these words of Scripture for us this morning from two readings, the first from Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have laid hold of it, but one thing I have laid hold of. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal, toward the prize of the heavenly call of God in Jesus Christ. And from Mark chapter 6, verses 46 through 51. Afterwards, he went up into the hills to pray. And during the night, as the disciples and their boat were out in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land, he saw that they were in serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the wind and waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, he walked out to them on the water. He started past them, but when they saw something walking along beside them, they screamed in terror, thinking it was a ghost, for they all saw him. But he spoke to them at once. "It's all right," he said. "It is I. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat, and the wind stopped. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I love the opportunity to use visuals. So here's our visual for today. And I had to reassure the staff that this was not for them. But a visual as we look at how to navigate the rough waters, learning how to canoe. Any of you canoe? Anybody? I was a novice, and probably my friend would probably say I still am. As we get started, let me pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength, our Redeemer. May these words be your words through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. While I was in seminary, I did my internship, which was required of everyone that was working on a Master of Divinity. Being a Texas boy, living in Arkansas, it was a challenge. In my first month, I met what would become a lifelong best friend, a fellow preacher's kid. We had so much in common. Even though we grew up 350, 400 miles apart, when we would share stories of growing up, it was like we were looking in each other's window. Well, I had grown up as a Boy Scout, Eagle Scout, camps, wilderness, but I never really experienced whitewater canoeing. Now, Tony was a whitewater enthusiast. I mean, the rougher the water, the more excited he would get. And he just kept bugging me, "You got to go with me, you got to go with me, you got to go with me." And, you know, I didn't want to drown, so I was a little reluctant. Finally, he talked me into it. He says, "I will teach you everything that you need to know." And here's what he taught me. The basics of whitewater canoeing. Number one, no matter how rough the waters, don't panic. Always wear a life jacket. Listen to the master canoer, to their direction. Don't look back. Keep your eyes on what is ahead. Focus on the path forward, not on the rocks ahead. And finally, kneel through the rapids. The most stable position in a canoe is on your knees. Now, over the years, what I've learned is that these lessons for whitewater canoeing also apply to our faith. And so what I'd like to do is maybe teach you and remind myself of these basic lessons of how to navigate the whitewaters. Because navigating the storms of life are always a challenge. Our hope is based on depending on Jesus as our master guide, keeping our eyes ahead on what God is doing, and staying on our knees in obedience. In the passage that Jana read for you from Mark chapter 6, we see the disciples in distress. And basically the way the story goes is that Jesus stayed back to pray, and he sent his disciples across the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee still today is known for these quick storms that would come up. And depending on your boat, your transportation, it can be quite a threat. Well, the disciples were doing everything they could to keep their boat afloat, and they were sinking. Jesus comes across the water. At first, they don't recognize him. They're scared to death. And when Jesus gets into the boat, the storm stops. The storm stops. He reassures them with these words. "It is all right," he said. "It is I. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat, and the wind stopped. In other words, no matter how rough the waters, don't panic. My first experience with Tony, we went out on the Buffalo River, and that spring there had been lots of rain, so the river was running deep and fast. I was worried. In fact, I was really worried. And Tony kept reassuring me. He said, "This is what he said. He said, I have seen much worse than this. Don't panic. Keep your cool. Listen to my voice. I got you. There is nothing this river can do that I can't handle." Throughout the Gospels, Jesus reassures the disciples, "I got you. There is nothing in this world that I cannot handle. Trust my voice and know that I got you." And just as Jesus calmed the storm on that evening, so Jesus was also always there for them as he is for us. Paul especially knew this. In his letters, a continuing theme is his dependence upon Jesus. In his letter to the church at Philippi, Philippians, we see really the depth of Paul's faith in Jesus and his dependence upon Jesus. When he writes this letter, he is most likely in the Mamertine prison in Rome awaiting execution. Now, the Mamertine prison was a place where the Romans put those who were waiting for execution. And it really had sewer-like conditions, the worst conditions that you could possibly imagine. In fact, more than half of the prisoners awaiting execution died from exposure or starvation before they even got to their execution day. And yet, Paul speaks in positive terms throughout this letter. He speaks of hope. He speaks of joy. He speaks of assurance. Paul knew that even in death, that Jesus was offering an eternal reward. And there was nothing in this life beyond the reach of Jesus. Paul knew that he was in the hands of Jesus no matter how bad things may have looked in what was coming to him. And when we depend on the power of Christ, we can live in confidence no matter how things look. Paul says this, "But this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind." I think this is one of the secrets of Paul's life, and it's also one of the great lessons of canoeing. Don't look back. Keep your eyes on what is ahead. Depend on the master canoer for direction. Keep your eyes ahead. You know, although it's important to learn from our mistakes, if we dwell on our mistakes, they tend to repeat themselves. We already know what we've done wrong. Too late. Who cares? Deal with the next set of rapids ahead of you. And don't make family or friends have to relive the mistakes that they have made. If Christ can forgive me, He can forgive all of us. And He does so that we can leave the past in the past. When canoeing, don't look back. The canoe will immediately go off course. It is disaster to look back. You lose sight on where you're going. You know, I love sports. Anybody not know I love sports? Here's one lesson from sports. Babe Ruth, for years, held the home run record in baseball. Do you know what other record he held? Strikeouts. He was the leader in strikeouts. And I think he still is, even though he's not the leader in home runs. He did not let his mistakes get in the way of the next at bat. Winston Churchill says this, "Success is the ability to move from one failure on to the next." Abraham Lincoln, one of the greatest presidents who ever lived, if not the greatest, he failed in business twice. He lost the love of his life to typhoid. From 1838 to 1858, he lost 8 straight elections before winning the presidency in 1860. He moved from one failure to the next without quitting. And little did Lincoln know the mission God had for his life in letting his people go. Failure does not define us unless we allow it. Paul continues, and we can say this about the lesson, focus on the path forward, not on the rocks ahead. Paul says, "But this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the heavenly God, of the heavenly call of God in Christ." Straining forward to what lies ahead. Straining forward. What are we straining forward to? Are we straining forward to the rocks or to the safe path? Natural instincts take us where we're focused. Focus on where you want to go, not on the rocks that you want to avoid. The master in the back of the canoe will pick the best path and turn the canoe toward that path. Our job is to be obedient, not to fight the path that we think we need to go. We're to reach our paddle and to pull as hard as we can toward the master's direction. If we worry about not hitting the rock, we're going to hit the rock. Our lives depend on a commitment to the voice of the master. Tony would say again and again, "Listen to my voice, listen to my voice, listen to my voice, listen to my voice." And I can remember, the more rough the waters would get, I could hear him laughing behind me, screaming like a banshee, not in fear, but in excitement, yelling, "Don't panic, just go where I tell you." And he'd tell me which side of the canoe to paddle on and how hard to canoe and when not to canoe. Focus on the path forward, not on the rocks ahead. Our lives depend on our commitment to the voice of the master. In chapter 4, as Paul closes his letter to the church at Philippi, he turns his focus to prayer, to the connection that we have with God. And this leads us to the last lesson. Kneel through the rapids. The most stable position in a canoe is on your knees. When the rough water is ahead, get on your knees. It lowers the center of gravity. From the high seat in a canoe to being on your knees in the bottom of the canoe. Paul says in chapter 4 of Philippians, In everything by prayer, let your request be known to God. The encouragement to pray and to seek God's guidance is at the very core of Paul's message. I mean, whatever letter you want to read, it's right there. It's right there because Paul knows our future depends on our connection with God. Now, those who've been in a canoe know that dropping down on your knees is not necessarily comfortable. It's much more comfortable to be in the seat. You know, you're up higher, you can see, it feels more secure, you got the sides of the canoe right against you. But when the white waters come, get on your knees. When you drop down on your knees, you do have a feeling of losing control in a canoe. But here's what it does, though it's not comfortable. The master has a better view of what is ahead. It lowers our center of gravity so that the direction of the master is better able to push us in the right direction. We get out of God's way, basically. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to regret it later. When we surrender, when we give up control, when we get off our... I'm not going to say it. And get on our knees, our Lord can do more in our life than we can ever imagine. To me, that's the most important lesson of canoeing the white waters. No matter how rough the waters, don't panic. Always wear a life jacket. Jesus is our life jacket. Listen to the master canoer's direction, to his voice. Don't look back. Keep your eyes on what's focused ahead, on what is ahead. Focus on the path forward, not on the rocks, and kneel through the rapids. It is the most stable position there is in a canoe, is on your knees. Now, please don't go home and try to take a canoe into the white waters. Don't try this at home. I've been canoeing with Tony numerous times, and I still get nervous. It's difficult. Life is difficult. But when we have the master, when we have the master at our side giving us direction, it gives us confidence. Every month or so, I kind of scan the internet looking at other church websites. I'm sure maybe in your businesses you do the same to look at your competition. Well, I want to see how others are getting their message out there. What do their websites look like? How are they presenting their church? You know, what can we learn from what other churches are doing? I also like to review how other churches are producing their worship services, how they're streaming them. In one of those services, the pastor made a statement. He said, "We are 20 inches away from surrendering to God." We are 20 inches away from surrendering to God. 20 inches is the distance between our knees and the floor. We want so much to be in control. But to navigate the storms and white waters of life, we must depend on the master. 20 inches. 20 inches. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, after the Passover meal, Jesus took his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. Luke tells us that it was Jesus' custom to go to Gethsemane to pray often. So they knew of Jesus' prayer life. They knew that it was important to Jesus. Therefore, they knew it would not be unusual for him to spend time praying in Gethsemane. What they did not expect was the prayer that Jesus prayed. For in that prayer, we see how Jesus prays and how not only is he encouraging us to put our lives in God's hands, but he too, as the master of all creation, put his life in dependence on God. Jesus prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet, not my will, but your will be done." Jesus took that long 20-inch journey from his knees to the floor. And that he not only made his request to God, but he put his life in God's hands. Jesus was willing to give up control. And notice how he prayed in total obedience. If it is possible, let this cup pass. Yet, not my will, but yours be done. We live between the if and the yet. We live between the if and the yet. It is the place of what has yet to come. It is the place of giving it all to God. And so this morning, here is my plea. If it is your direction, O God, if it is what you can see, if, yet not my will, but yours be done, yet not what I want, but as I get down on my knees this day and every day, what you will, O God, for I trust in you. Thanks be to God.
Life can bring us storms. Those moments where we wonder, doubt. The journey doesn't stop, but the progress does. It can be lonely, painful. Sometimes we try to stare it down, as if we could somehow will it to go away. Or we think we can go toe-to-toe and come out the other side, unscathed. We often forget just how small we are. The truth is, storms are inevitable. But when they appear, we have a protector, a savior who knows a thing or two about calming storms. A God who is a stronghold in times of trouble. In our weakness, he is strong. In our fear, he is courage. In our desperation, he is peace. Yes, storms are inevitable. But our God is invincible.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. You are invited to worship with us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.